Orbitals and Astrology Podcast. I'm your host, William Holloway, and today's show is all about planets out of bounds. With me to discuss and dissect is my special guest astrologer, Ellie Burke of Saturn Season Astrology. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks for being here. I'm super excited about this conversation. Like we were talking about earlier, just like we don't always get to have these conversations with these kind of niche astrology topics.
No, it's not something, you know, because it's not something that everybody knows about or is aware of. It should be.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, I've been an astrologer for, I don't know, six something years maybe, but it's only been the last year and a half that I've really paid attention to declinations and out of bounds planets and all that, especially since I started a true crime podcast a few months ago, and I know you have one as well, so we're going to get into that.
We have several intersecting interests.
Yes. Why don't we get into talking about what is an out of bounds planet? In order to do that, though, we probably need to talk about declinations first.
Yes, probably so. Like, what the hell are they? And yeah. For everybody watching or listening, I am looking at my phone because my ADHD ass will get completely off topic. So I have my notes, gathered my notes. Okay, so declinations are the movements of the planets north and south of the celestial equator. The regular wheel, like when you look at a regular astrology chart, right, that wheel, the regular wheel that we're used to seeing measures longitude, which is like two-dimensional, while declination measures the planet's latitude, which brings it into 3D. Declination is another way of seeing where a planet is in space relative to other planets. Now, bringing this in to talking about this, we also have to talk about the parallels and the contra-parallels, which are aspects that can happen within declination.
Yeah.
You can have planets that are parallel and contra-parallel. When you're looking at this, generally you want to look at a degree and a half apart. That's kind of as wide as you want to go. Parallels function like conjunctions. Planets that are parallel will be both north or both south, right? So you've got like a planet at like a declination of, or let's say you've got two planets at declination of 21 degrees south. Those would be parallel.
Yeah. Should we pull up a chart where we can look at the list?
Yeah.
Because like you were saying, when we're looking at an astrology chart online or when we've drawn out, it's a 2D situation.
Yes.
And so we're getting a 3D situation, but we can't see when something's out of bounds by just looking at the chart. It's kind of like behind the scenes that we're looking at it.
It is. And you've got to look at the declination table.
Right.
Or like if you're on astro.com, it would be under, what is it? Additional tables, I believe, is what that's under, I think.
Yes. Because we both use Astro Gold, but it is a service you have to pay for. So if you don't have that, most software has declinations lists somewhere. Here is a chart of Judy Garland. She actually has a few out of bounds planets, and we'll talk about that when we get into the different planets. If you want to look at the declination list, you would go up to Sheets. You'll see on the left side, there are all these different lists that you can look at. When we're looking at declinations and then the out of bounds planets, we're looking at the points list.
Yes. And we have the declinations. It looks like her Venus and her Mars are out of bounds.
Yeah.
Because, and I haven't said this yet, what makes a planet out of bounds in the first place? A planet that is beyond a declination of 23 degrees and 26 minutes north or south is out of bounds. That is because the sun's maximum current declination is 23 degrees, 26 minutes. So anything that goes beyond that, any planet that goes beyond that, beyond where the sun, it's no longer under the sun's thumb, no longer under the sun's domain. It's kind of able to go and do whatever it wants. It really is. That's what it's able to do.
It's kind of lawless, right?
Like, it is.
It goes beyond the, it's like you think about all the planets are following the sun's path. Trajectory, uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. And then when things go out of bounds, they go outside of that. And so you can think of it symbolically, like I think of like terms like beyond the pale, boundary uh-huh. breaking, going in the danger zone, you know, like kind of going where, you know, maybe no man's land.
Going rogue.
Going rogue, totally.
Yeah. So there are two aspects, the parallel and the contra-parallel. I mentioned what the parallel is. The contra-parallels function like oppositions. Planets that are contra-parallel will have one planet north and one planet south. So essentially that might be like one planet at 21 degrees north, another planet at 21 degrees south, and that would be contraparallel. And this can show things about a person or an event or whatever that we wouldn't otherwise see in some cases. Also, if you have a planet, let's say you've got planets in the chart and they happen to be like conjunct one another in the chart, and they're also parallel, that like intensifies that. It's like I think some people will call it like a double whammy almost.
Yeah,
Really,
like a super conjunction almost.
exactly. It's very it really intensifies the meaning of that of that
Yeah.
conjunction. Just some things to throw out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Learning about declinations and out of balance planets, it just adds more.
Layers.
So why don't we talk about which planets go out of balance? Because not all of them do.
Not all of them do.
Right.
So the sun obviously won't, because that's, kind of the basis for other planets going out of bounds, right? Is the sun's declination. Saturn never goes out of bounds. Not surprising.
Yep.
Neptune
Of
never
course not.
goes out of bounds.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, it that one has always I've always thought, I'm like, huh, that is interesting to me. It's like you've got two planets that are very, very different, right? Saturn and Neptune, and neither one do it. It is an interesting thing to think about. When I work with out of bounds planets, when I think about them, when I work with them with clients or in event charts or whatever, or even in, horary, you can bring it up in that too, in horary questions. If you notice a bunch of stuff out of bounds, kind of like, that's interesting. asking a question at this particular time. But planets that are out of bounds are able to do their own thing, able to give the middle finger to the sun since they aren't under its thumb. I have noticed that out of bounds planets can oftentimes, though not always, but enough to mention, oscillate between the energy of the sign that it's in and the sign opposite it as well. I have noticed this. Not always, not always. So I'm not confident to be like, this is always going to be the case, but I have noticed that it certainly can be. For instance, someone with the moon out of bounds in Libra might find they oscillate between emotional independence and perhaps emotional codependence. There is like an oscillation, and it's because it is lawless, right? It can do whatever it wants.
Right.
But it can also swing in a bunch of different ways too. It does, but I have noticed the swing between the sister signs, essentially.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it makes sense.
It does. Yeah, I mean, it does. It does. When I'm like, yeah, it really does. Even though I've seen it, it's still kind of like when you read and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
These planets are very liberated. I think of them as very, very liberated. That can be a good thing or a bad thing, right? Depends on what you do with it, but they are liberated. There is definitely an affinity for Uranian energy here. I want to
Yes.
be careful when I say that, because I'm not saying that these planets, it's not like they are completely ruled by Uranus or anything like that, but there is a Uranian flavor to them.
Kind of like going against the grain.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'll say this about out of bounds planets. I think they have a, I want to be careful when I say this too. Retrograde planets have a Uranian flavor as well, because they do things differently. They want to function differently. Like they, but the difference with retrograde energy and out of bounds, they both have that Uranian flavor of doing things different. Difference is out of bounds planets, unless they are retrograde, will shoot that energy outward into the world, whereas the retrograde turns it inward on the person. But that difference is kind of that there is a similar flavor there. An out of bound planet can have a propensity towards extremity. These
Yes.
planets can be extreme. They can. Okay, so when I say that, if you've got a planet out of bounds in your chart, and I'm not talking shit because I have three. Okay, so this is coming from somebody who has three planets out of bounds: Moon, Venus, and Uranus. But if you've got out of bounds planets in your chart, it's really important to express the best version of that out of bound planet's energy. In my opinion, know what the strengths, gifts of the planet of that planet in question are, so you can really lean into that version of the out of bounds planet. If you were to lean into a lower vibrational quality of the out of bounds planet, it could probably do some damage, since it's not under the thumb of the sun, since it can do whatever it wants, since it is kind of lawless. So if you say have, I don't know, the moon in, I don't know, we could pick a random sign, Gemini, let's just say, think about, learn about what the light side of the moon in Gemini and the shadow side of the moon in Gemini are. And really try to think about how to lean into the lightest expressions of the moon in Gemini, the light
Yes.
side of things, because you can do that in an extreme way and it can be lovely. Or you can swing to that shadow side and it could be just as extreme, but to your detriment.
Right.
It
Yeah.
feels a little like with great power comes great responsibility.
Right. That's a good way of looking at it.
It's kind of a weird thing to say because it's like you have to learn how to control it so it doesn't control you.
Yeah.
I do think they age better. They age well. They
They
or they
tend to,
can.
yeah.
They certainly can. Which is an interesting thing to watch play out as people get older
Yeah.
and have them.
When I learned about out of bounds planets, I was looking at all the people I know and like, who do I know that has out of bounds planets? I don't have any out of bounds planets, but a lot of my like close friends growing up had Mars out of bounds, which I find
Okay.
interesting because I have Uranus right on my descendant.
Okay.
So I'm attracted, at least especially when I was younger, attracted to rebellious people and people that go against the grain and
It's like you're like it's like a moth to the flame, like come to
yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, ooh, yeah, let's get in there.
That's cool. That's a cool thing to.
Yeah. But no, none of them I would say are like as adults are, you know, doing anything illegal that I'm aware of.
You're
That
right, Abby. You're
I'm
right.
aware of.
That's funny.
Yeah. The moon out of bounds. Some of the top things I see with moon out of bounds. Well, you have your moon out of bounds, correct? Then why don't you take
Well,
it?
okay. Let me also preface this with saying it does matter. Everything, I just, if you don't mind me prefacing this here. Okay, so everything that we say here, you do have to take your whole chart into account, right? Like, I can talk about what my moon is like out of bounds all day long, but that if you have your moon out of bounds, you might have a very different experience depending on where your moon falls in your chart, what sign it's in, what house, what aspects it makes. So, what I'm saying is not like necessarily going to be true for everybody. But my moon is in Capricorn, it's in the first house. I have found that I have a very interesting relationship with emotions. Which shouldn't surprise anybody. I guess with saying that it's out of bounds in Capricorn, I am not the most emotional person when it comes to diff. Okay, I'll, no, actually, let me back that up. I'm incredibly emotional, but you will never see it. But a lot of, but I don't have a problem admitting that part of it. Like I am, but I'm the sort that goes and cries in a closet or cries in the shower kind of thing. Like you're not gonna see it, which is very Capricorn moon, right? That particular is. But also I know a lot of Capricorn moons might not even admit that they do actually do that. And I do. I definitely do. Now, this is something that I've noticed with a lot of out of bounds moons, regardless of sign, is that there is an ability to compartmentalize. Emotional compartmentalization in some capacity. Now, how that comes about depends on the sign. You know, where by house, but I have found that to kind of be a thing that can happen. But I know that I personally will feel things very, very deeply, but I do not always express that. But the feeling is incredibly deep, and sometimes it can feel like it's so deep that it might kill me if I were to express it.
Yeah. I mean, that
It's
makes
extreme.
sense.
And there usually is some sort of with whatever you have. Out of bounds, whatever moon out of bounds in whatever sign, whatever house, whatever aspects, there is some kind of extremity to it.
Yeah, I mean, unconventional life path is often a thing with moon out of bounds people. I have seen a little bit of like mental health struggles sometimes with moon out of bounds.
There can be, there certainly can be.
Also, if someone's a mother, they could be like a really great mother or like a mother from hell.
I have, yeah, I have known a few people that, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'll,
Right.
but yeah, it yes, it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I'm one of the
I'm sure you are. I'm sure
good
you are.
but I have seen it kind of go the, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple mothers I'm thinking of that I would like to get a hold of their birth information to see if they fall into the other category.
Like, what's going on with you?
Yeah. Like, oh, it makes sense. Yeah.
And also family shit. There can be something kind of extreme about the family. And this could be right, this could be like an extreme shit, an extreme parent, extreme family dynamics in some way. This could be extreme, like extremely close or extremely like detached. It just depends. Even extreme situations, socioeconomic situation, all kinds of things with the there could def just with the family in general can also play in.
Yeah, totally. And there are so many examples when I was looking at examples. I almost so many people have out of bounds moons. It's a common one to have. But one that I thought really stood out to me that kind of encapsulated all of the things we've talked about is Kurt Cobain. He had an out of bounds moon.
And that would make sense to me. Even like, the way that it seemed like he felt things. Like obviously that Cancer Moon is going to be expressed, right? Or and was expressed. But Capricorn can be a little bit, which is the sister to, the and there can be an oscillation or an maybe it's not even an oscillation all the time. Sometimes it's more like a blending, but Capricorn can be so heavy, right? That, and we know this happened with him, but almost like weighing it down, really.
Well, in that Saturn way, right? I mean, he had a very extreme life, if you think about it, a lot of dark stuff, but a lot of really positive things, in his short 27 years on the planet.
Yes.
So, I mean, that alone, just, an extreme or, unconventional life path. That's not very common that people become so famous that it essentially kills them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And even his family dynamics
Yeah.
were, there were extreme things within his family dynamics too.
Yeah. I know when he was younger, he moved around. He was kind of bounced around, wasn't always at home. He would stay with, teachers and stuff like that.
And
So,
I think he ran away
yeah. Let's move on to Mercury.
too. Okay. We gonna talk about cankles?
Yeah, cankles. Yeah. Thou shall not, the man who thou shall not be named, who is the current leader of this country.
Organ thief.
Yeah. I don't say his name because I had a hard time getting views on something, or it was I couldn't promote it, and it said there was something political in it, and I couldn't figure out what it was because I said his name, and so I had to like cut his name out. So we're not going to say his name, but I think at this point you know what we're talking about. Cankles.
Angles.
Yeah, he has a Mercury out of bounds.
That should surprise nobody.
That should surprise no one. It's funny because I was thinking like, who is a Mercury out of bounds? And I was like, he was the first person I thought of. I said, he's got to have one. And lo and behold.
And I know he's a Gemini sun. And I've looked at his chart. He's Gemini Mercury, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So, like, he talks a lot, right?
Yeah.
Talk like a lot. But, for somebody who talks so much, right? And with the Gemini Mercuries are you they talk, but they're usually pretty, they're pretty good with their
Yeah.
speech. He's not.
No. He
Okay.
again should have become a stand-up comic. Much better career path for someone
Yeah.
with this chart. When you look at his chart, it's an intense chart, and so much good could have come
Yeah.
through a chart like that, but
Yeah. It could have. And like you said, like the stand-up comic, because he's got the Gemini sun, the Sagittarius moon, and both are natural, like can be natural comedians, right? So
Yeah.
it's like, why didn't you do that?
I know.
But the Mercury thing is interesting again with the kind of pulling from the polar opposite sign, where Mercury is domicile in Gemini, it's in detriment in Sagittarius. And
Yeah.
there is something, he talks a lot, but it can be kind of, and I'm not talking shit if you got a Mercury in Sagittarius, I'm not trying to talk
Right, right.
shit here. I want to be very clear. I'm not ragging on you. I'm not ragging on anybody that's got this going on. But in his case, it's kind of like pulling that Mercury and Sagittarius more kind of almost fucking up that
Yeah.
that merch
Well,
a little kind of, I know that sounds harsh, but just a, it's kind of getting a little off course of what could be on track,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
Right. Well, and you can think of it also like he possesses the shadow side of what a Mercury and Sagittarius is, like the shadow side of like a lighter side of Mercury and Sagittarius would be like an amazing storyteller, right? Or a stand-up comic, but like the shadow side could be someone who lies
Yeah,
and
and
just
he does.
makes stuff up. And what?
And he does, right?
And
He
he
and
does,
he
right?
tells stories and they don't make sense a lot of the time and they're not like real or and you're like, "What?"
Yeah, totally.
Like I'll watch him half the time and I'm like, "What the fuck is he even saying? What is he even
Yeah,
talking
makes no
about?"
sense. Yeah, but the out of bounds Mercury makes it make more sense.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Yeah. Now, Kangles was the only chart I looked at for this, but there are other like real positive things like super intelligent.
What I was gonna say,
Yeah.
bordering on genius. Like
Yes, almost like on the spectrum of like being really, really good at like certain things,
yes,
right?
absolutely. That yeah, the Mercury that out of bounds was just in his example, not in general. Like
Yeah.
I have clients that Mercury out of bounds, all of them super fucking smart.
Yeah.
Super fucking smart. Yeah, it can be used in wonderful ways and utilized tremendously.
Yeah. And Kinkles is smart in his own way. But it's not it's almost more instinctual, and it's like almost like he uses this power for evil,
Yeah,
right?
he uses it. Yeah, he doesn't use it for anything positive. Yes.
Yeah. Those are like the main things you usually see, like with the Mercury out of bounds, is like you could say things like over the top, you could be, maybe known for saying wild stuff. Or you could be like very intelligent, very, very good at certain things, like process-oriented things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's
Absolutely.
Mercury. Shall we move on to Venus? Venus out of bounds. You have Venus out of bounds.
I do.
You do. Okay, then do you want to
Okay, so let me also preface this again by saying this is just my experience with it. My Venus is also like within a few minutes of being conjunct Uranus. So they're very close too. So that flavors it. It's also conjunct the galactic center, which flavors it. So there's a lot going on with my Venus, but it's out of bounds in Sagittarius, also in the first house. I have had my relationships have been so fucking weird. I will say that they have, and they have been extreme. Some, a lot, most of them have been extremely terrible. I'll be honest, have been awful. Like it's like Ellie, you don't know how to pick them. And throughout most of my life, it's been like that. But the few that I've had that have been good have been very, very good. I'll say that
Yeah.
they have been very, very, and I mean romantic relationships, not so much friendships, things like that, but the romantic.
Yeah, that's great.
I'll say my values are probably a little different than maybe other people's, which is fine. It's nothing that's gonna hurt anybody or
Right.
whatever, right? But they are a little different. I've come to terms with that. That was harder when I was younger.
Sure.
Realizing that that's other people just don't value whatever, and that's hard when you're younger, but as you get older,
For sure.
which is another way of it aging better or being easier as you get older.
It does.
What would you say?
I would say like non-traditional tastes or non-traditional boundaries in relationships, harming through relationships or susceptible to being harmed in relationships.
Yeah. Yes. That I yeah.
Yeah.
Making sure that you are either expressing the highest possible vibration of Venus in whatever sign it's in through whatever house, or you are receiving that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think a good example that I found that kind of got me down a rabbit hole because I'd forgotten about her was do you remember or do you know about Leona Hemsley?
That name is familiar.
Okay. Maybe I was pretty young when I remember she was in the headlines. She was kind of one of the symbols, along with Trump, of excess of the 80s because she was a successful businesswoman but she went to prison for tax evasion, and she was famous for saying, "We don't pay taxes, only the little people pay taxes."
What an asshole.
Monster asshole, yeah.
What
And
an
she,
asshole.
yeah, and she went really extreme with the plastic surgery, which is also maybe another Venus thing I hadn't really thought of, but her face looked so crazy by the end of her life. And she left most of her fortune to her dog named Trouble.
The plastic surgery thing is very interesting. I think you're onto something with that.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I'll just use a little personal whatever here, kind of in an inverse, if you will. Like, okay, I'll be very transparent. I get Botox, not very much, but I get like five little things here. But I'm always with the lady that doesn't. I'm always like, please don't freeze my face. Please
Yeah.
don't freeze. But it's very like extreme. Like, please don't change how I look. Like, I just don't want these
Yeah.
stupid lines. Otherwise, please don't change how I look. But it's
Yeah.
this extreme kind of like, please don't, rather than the other way of like wanting extreme change. It's like, please.
Right, because sometimes they do. I get it too as well. I don't get it as much as I used to. When I was younger, I got it. In my 30s, yes, this is another thing. This is a little off topic, but not totally. If you do want to, get into Botox, doing it in your 30s, like a lot, then you can stop and only do it every once in a while when you're at a certain point. Yeah.
That's what I read. And so I
Yeah.
started a few years back. I started when I was like 35. I'm almost 38 now.
Okay.
And that's what I read. So I was like, ooh, okay. So just a little bit,
Yeah.
but it's very like, please don't change how my face looks. It's an extreme kind of thing
You're
of,
like really concerned about that. Yeah.
yes. Like, I don't want the lines, the couple of lines, but I do not want. But what you're saying about, on the other end of that, people being extreme about that,
Yeah.
I know a few people
Yeah.
that they have Venus out of bounds, and they have,
They like to go a little far with it.
yeah, but it's they it's them, they do them, that's
Yeah.
fine, but
Some people like it. I mean, I was going to say when I remember when I started getting it, whenever, a decade ago, and initially the mask and be like, do you want the surprise look or do you want the caveman look? And I'm like, why would I want either of those looks? And they're like, you'd be surprised how many people want those looks. I'm like,
You're like, no,
wow.
I just want to look like me.
Yeah, I was like, I just want to look like me, but more well rested and like,
Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Okay, should we move on to Mars?
Yes.
Okay. Mars out of bounds happens, it's a little bit more frequent because it happens once a year for about 2.5 months. So there are more people that are going to have Mars out of bounds. And like I said earlier, apparently all my close friends growing up had Mars out of bounds. And I was attracted to they were rebellious rule breakers, right? And maybe they're rule breakers still, but not in like an illegal way per se, right? Like you can be a rule breaker and not necessarily break the law.
Yeah, sometimes out of bounds, Mars, though, Mars out of bounds specifically, but out of bounds planets also, just in general, they'll bend them as far as they can bend it without breaking it. And
Yeah.
yeah. And but Mars specifically, yes, Mars out of bounds does that.
Yeah. There's the rebellious side, but then there's also like when I was looking at some examples of people, I mean, there's so many people with Mars out of bounds, like Aleister Crowley had Mars out of bounds, which makes sense.
Yes,
Janis Joplin had Mars out of bounds. Judy Garland had both Venus and Mars out of bounds. I think that again makes sense. And then Gianni Versace had Mars out of bounds, but so did Andrew Cunanan, who's the one that killed him.
told him.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because it speaks to not just having like this over the top martial quality about their character, but that violence played a huge part in his story, right?
I was gonna say, not necessarily anybody directing it like at me or in my personal life, but I have known people that have Mars out of bounds, that like clients that have had, that have talked about having anger issues
Yeah.
and wanting like maybe some help with ways to, work with those or whatever through astrology, right? Obviously, most of them have like a psychologist as well that they work with them and things like
Yeah.
that. Just taking, a different look at it from a different lens, and it's like, ah, your Mars is out of bounds. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, On the flip side of that, though, too, I've also seen people that don't get angry enough
Oh, that's interesting.
with Mars out of bounds. Like they're not like they've got things they've had life events where they should be really fucking pissed off. And
They're like numb almost.
yeah. So
Okay.
it can the extremity there, right? Can exist. I think it probably, from what I've seen, does more often go the other way, but yeah.
Yeah. I've also seen when people have Mars out of bounds, they could be more susceptible to cheating on their partner or like having overt sexual drive. And so they either need to have an open relationship or they end up cheating on their partner or something. Not all, obviously, not all cases. I've just noticed. I'm like, oh, these are all people that have a hard time with monogamy.
Yeah, I have noticed that too. Their clients and even a couple people that I know, like in my yeah.
You're like, yep, that makes sense. That tracks.
Yeah.
So, shall we move on to the next few? So, Jupiter.
Jupiter is one that doesn't go very, very far out of bounds usually, and it doesn't go out of bounds very often.
Right.
So if you see it out of bounds, you want to really like take note of it. Understanding, Jupiter understands. So these people often there is something extreme about their understanding of things. That's often how I see this manifest. Now I've also seen it manifest with luck. Either the person having the best fucking luck and you're just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Or they seem to have on the extreme end of that, they seem to have like awful luck. And it's
Worse.
like, damn, how like how
Damn.
many shitty things can happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had a hard time finding any charts with Jupiter out of bounds, natal charts, because it is so rare and it doesn't, when it happens, it's not for very long. But someone who I found did have a Jupiter out of bounds is Catherine the Great. And so what's interesting about this, because this kind of covers the religious aspect of Jupiter, because she nationalized church lands to fund all of her wars. So she ended up like emptying monasteries and forced a lot of the clergy to either charge fees for baptisms or get out of the church altogether. Many of them had to switch to being farmers or they made money off being farmers. But overall, her influence, her during her reign, the influence of the church greatly diminished. So I think that's interesting.
That is very interesting and tying in that Jupiter theme of religion and beliefs and
She kind of sucked it out of people a little bit.
yes yes yeah ex yeah no that yeah I can totally see how that would happen here. Yeah, how that could happen.
And then we go to Uranus and Pluto, which again, they don't go out of bounds that often, but when they do, it's for a long time, like many years. I mean, currently we have Pluto out of bounds.
Yes, we do. And we see that happen throughout history with a lot of different events.
Yeah, I think it's eventful typically when we have Pluto out of bounds.
Yeah, it is. And Pluto in itself, one of the things that Pluto is extreme, right? That's one of the things that it wants to express, that it does express. So we might see extremes of power. Power is another Plutonian thing. We might also see, you know, Pluto's also evolution. It's also a tie into evolution. So there could be like extreme evolutionary progress in some way. Or I
That's
guess
true.
in it, you could also be, I guess, a de-evolution because it could. I mean, I'd like to not
You
think
could.
about it going
I'd
that
like
way,
to not, yeah.
but it
But
could.
no, yeah, like major revolutions and like transformative societal shifts happen during Pluto out of bounds. I mean, you'll see it a lot in natal charts because when it does happen, it's for long periods of time. So, you know, it's one of those things like if you're looking at someone has Pluto out of bounds, I'm not gonna put too much thought into it unless it's being like heavily aspected or something like that.
Yeah, it might be something that's kind of like, oh, Pluto's out of bounds. Like, but and you might take note of it, but not necessarily like harp on it.
Yeah, like it might become relevant at one point in their life, like through a progress chart,
Or
like
it can be like lit up, if you
lit
will.
up. Yeah.
Lit up. And I mean, even you know, and that also kind of just for Pluto in general, like Pluto transits, right? Like they are so slow, right? That there's like a there can oftentimes be like a slow burn with them,
Yeah.
as an undercurrent for several years. So that also, you know, what you're saying, even though I know you're not talking about Pluto transit, but it's
But still, yeah,
kind of,
similar.
yeah. One more thing about out of balance planets that I wanted to mention is that you tend to. Okay, so I do a lot of stuff with the galactic center and galactics and galact, you know, galactic points in astrology. And I have noticed that you get a lot of out of balance planets conjunct the GC. You get a lot of them there, and you also get a lot of them at the galactic anticenter. And the galactic center right now is at 27 degrees, I want to say 14 or 12 minutes of Sagittarius.
Okay.
So you get a lot of it is a common thing in the research that I've done. I've had a lot of participants over the past almost 5 years, and a lot of people have planets out of bounds that have conjunctions to the GC. It's very, very,
Interesting.
it's very, and same thing with the anticenter at like 27 degrees Gemini right now. So I have noticed that is something kind of interesting that I've noticed about out of bounds planets and it makes sense because of the galactic center, like twisting and turning and mutating planets. It makes sense that it would kind of, because it already seems like it would have this affinity for this, but I have noticed that also within the research that.
That's very interesting. Okay.
And that's kind of, yeah, I know that that's kind of, and I'll stop there with that because I could go off on a whole other tangent about that. I'll stop. But I just wanted to bring it up because it is something that I've noticed about.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, I'm gonna look more into that.
Yeah, definitely do. Definitely, because it seems like you like the niche stuff as it is.
Yeah, I do.
I would which is very
Oh,
Virgoian
yeah,
of you.
it is. I know. I need to look at every little piece for sure. So yeah, let's switch over to our forensic astrology conversation. So what is forensic astrology? Let's start with that.
Me do my little definition again.
All
Little
right, cool.
So forensic astrology is where you cast a chart for the last time that someone was seen alive to try and figure out where they might be found, dead or alive. You can also cast the chart for the time of death, right? If you have the actual time of death, you can cast the chart for the time of death, or where a body was found, if either of those are accessible, either of those times, dates and places are accessible. The chart of any of those times will give you an idea as to what may have been going on at the time someone goes missing and or the time they departed the earth to give people a better understanding of what happened to the person. So you're able to see, you know, the state of the person, the catalyst of what's going on, what was going on, and or a perpetrator, if there is a perpetrator, all of these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Is that pretty good?
That is a good, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, it's that. And then I also think of it like you're taking like an event chart of like a
Absolutely.
moment something happened and you're kind of using it in a horary way. You're taking some horary principles.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Which I personally, it might cut this part out, but I personally think forensic astrology is a lot easier than straight up horary is. Straight up horary is not easy and you got to practice it constantly, I feel like, to be good at it.
Yeah, well, and you'll also get these like when I do horary charts for people, because some people will ask, because I also read tarot cards,
Okay,
and
yeah.
people ask questions and they like, I could pull, I you know, I've got a little yes or no tarot card list in my head, but I'm thinking this would actually be really good running a horary chart for this particular
Yeah.
person. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you get a very clear yes, sometimes you get a very clear no, but sometimes you get a maybe, sometimes you get an ask again later, or sometimes it kind of feels like the chart's going, fuck you, your question doesn't matter, like
Yeah. Or if
so
you ask the same question over and over, which I did in
yes,
the beginning, and it was really telling me to fuck off after a
yeah,
while.
yeah it's kind of like yeah it's kind of like what your tarot cards will start doing, like I said what I said,
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'm not saying anymore, you know,
Yeah.
kind of thing. So, but
I've
yes,
already answered that. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I yeah, it yeah, horary can be a challenge at times. Yes.
It can be, yeah. But so forensic astrology is fascinating to me. I'm more recent to it because I wanted to do this podcast with my friend, and we started it, the Astrology of the Unknown, where we look at unsolved cases. And and I've been looking at your podcast and some of the cases we've covered similar cases before. But what drew you to forensic astrology? Like, what was it that you were like, I'm going to look more at this?
Okay, so when I was little, and I mean little, when I was a little girl, I always had a real interest in true crime. Like before, probably when it was not an appropriate time for me to have an interest in true, really seriously, like a 7-year-old wanting to know about missing people and all of that. But I really did, and I remember my mom, and like even like the psychology behind like serial killers that do what they do, and all this all kind of ties together. My mom was always kind of like thinking, "What's the matter with her?" But yeah. So it kind of stems from all of that, and it forensic astrology beautifully ties together two great interests for me, which is astrology and like true crime,
Totally.
and things like that, and even history, right? Looking at the event of historical events, I am kind of a history slut too.
Yeah, me too.
So it kind of blends all of these things together.
Yeah, it's super exciting, and I've been obsessed with true crime since I was pretty little. Like, Unsolved Mysteries was my favorite show as a kid. Scared the hell out of me, but I had to watch it.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's like it's one of those things where it's like you want to know, but then you don't want to know, but you do want to know. So
Yes.
you're gonna, yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. And things like Twin Peaks were big because it was all about a mystery, right? And then they solved the mystery. But something about like a mystery within a mystery within a mystery, right? And astrology is very much that too. But when we get into forensic astrology, it is very much like opens up so many more possibilities.
It does. It really does. Yes.
So, in what ways has forensic astrology shaped or deepened your overall approach to astrology?
This is a question. I'm looking at that question that
Oh, yeah.
because this is a good question. I'm like, huh, how has it? Okay. So it has kept me in constant connection with the fundamentals of astrology, the basic building blocks. In regular natal chart readings, I take a much more psychological and evolutionary approach to reading, but with event charts or crime charts or forensic charts, you want to take a much more, I mean, you can, don't get me wrong, I can certainly go off on a psychological
Sure.
tangent about something, right? So I'm not saying that I don't do that or that you shouldn't do that, but there is a much more like cut and dry is probably not the right way to say it.
Almost literal, right? Like,
Yeah, literal. There is a much more literal interpretation of these things. And when I make these videos or do blog posts on it, I do make it clear that like I'm reading this very literally because this is how you do it. I would not take the same approach to reading your natal chart.
right.
You could, but
You
I when
could.
I start pulling in all the psychological stuff that I just might not pull in for this, but it does allow me an opportunity to really get in contact with the basic fundamentals. Also, just really getting to know the fundam I mean, not that I don't know the fundamentals of the planets, but you stay in constant connection and contact with them and with the signs and with the houses and all of these things.
Yeah, it's another way to engage and get more information about what all of these planets are about in astrology, right? You get to see another side that's more literal, right? Which it's helpful to go there, right? Like, if Mars is really prominent in an event chart, you're going to look at like knives, maybe being involved, or a gun, or like these martial things that are, it's more literal.
Or, you've got Mars, let's just say, just without taking any actual chart into consideration, but just Mars in the seventh house, you'd be looking at a perpetrator who's very violent. You could be, you know
Right.
what I mean? Especially depending on what sign Mars is in, right? Like if Mars is in, let's say Mars is in Aries, like that could be a or Scorpio. or Capricorn, even, right? Where it's
Right. Or
exalted,
cancer.
or can, yeah, that's some.
The face is
But
going.
with that one, you know, maybe, but there's some sort of something going. If Mars in the seventh house, something with this person could, this perpetrator could be very violent.
Yeah.
Or if it's a person doing something to themselves, say the you know, the person that's missing or whatever, they could have done something very violent to themselves.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. What has been the most unexpected or illuminating discovery you've encountered in forensic astrology?
Okay, so this is probably going to sound so fucking stupid because I have I've been studying astrology for since I was also a little girl, okay? And obviously I know how important the fucking time is, right? I know this, right? But it's almost like when you do something so much, you become numb to how important it is.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just, you know, like I, you know, I get a client and they give me their time of birth and I enter it in and it is what it is, right? Okay. But it's like doing forensic astrology. You it's so I have here it, this is so stupid, but it is so illuminating to see how important an accurate time is for these
Yeah.
charts. Like it really is. And I'll use an example here. Okay, so the yogurt shop murders.
Yeah.
Okay, I live in Austin. So this has been this and I grew up here. And so
Okay.
this has been something that I've wanted to see solved forever. This happened
Yeah, I'm sure.
when I was like, I think I was 3 or 4 when it happened.
Okay.
So I was little. But I've wanted following it for years, wanted to see it solved. I had always been working off of an 11:45 p.m. time. I always had been working off at this time because that is the time that the cop who was patrolling, that's when the call was made, essentially,
Okay.
that the yogurt shop was on fire. That is always the chart I've been working off of. They figure out who did it, right? Everything. They have the press conference. And the lead detective says around 11 p.m. And it was quite literally like a record scratch. And I was like, wait a minute. Hold
Yeah, you're like,
on.
that's different.
I'm like, hold on. Hold on. That is not at all. I mean, I was like, okay, it's not that much time difference. 45 minutes, right? 45 minutes. Now, looking at that 11:45 p.m. chart, I had been, and Brandy too, who I do it with. We had both been like, this is two people, right? From this chart, from this 11:45 p.m. chart. And then they come out with a one singular person. And I'm sitting there going, well, really? Like, really? This is weird. Okay. I'm glad they caught him, but this, I'm thinking, this is really weird.
Yeah, you're like, it doesn't match up.
It doesn't. But then I pull that 11 p.m. chart and I'm like, okay, this makes more sense. The time is so important. And
It really is.
you see it, you actually, it's like you almost have an appreciation for how important it is.
Yeah,
That, so
I love that.
that is like the biggest kind of, and it shouldn't be like a, oh, kind of moment, but it,
Well, it's just reinforcing how important that having the correct time is. I mean,
yes.
yeah.
Because if you don't, you're gonna, and I mean, you know, we all make mistakes, but you know, things are gonna, yeah, if you don't have the right time, I mean, it's just, yeah,
You
it
could be led astray for sure. I
exactly.
know, like the last episode we did on Astrology of the Unsolved was on the Burning Man murder, and there's not a lot of information. So I was like, well, what chart am I gonna pull for this? Like, what? So, and I looked at various times, and nothing really spoke to me. And I still like I the one. It's kind of one of those things, like. You know, if this ever gets solved, I'll be very interested to see like if I was on the right path of picking this chart, because a lot of people said like the last time they saw the guy before he died was like in the morning, but his body was discovered in the nighttime. So he was around all day.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird.
Right? But like it seems to be like I've looked at a lot of Reddit. There was a lot of people that were there, that it seems to be the consensus of when the murder happened was around 8:30 p.m. because the body was discovered about 45 minutes later. He was in a pool of blood, so, and it's in the desert and the extreme heat. Body would have started, like, it was clear that it had happened within the last like hour.
Yeah, just from everything going, yeah, from, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the chart I went with. But again, like, I don't know if that it made sense to me in the moment. But when we get more information, I'll be able to look back and say, did this time actually, was this the correct time? Right.
And it also kind of gives you an idea as to like what, you know, because I've always kind of had this question in my head of, okay, so you can have a last time seen or a time of death, which I think we're not always going to have like an exact time of death, right? Usually it's
Right.
the last time seen or a time found. And, you know, it kind of like this thing with the yogurt shop, it kind of reinforces that, you know, perhaps the time found or a 911 call, it might have been better to have if you had like the time of death, right? Obviously, like it might be
Yeah.
better way to go or closer to that time or even like a last time seen. It just it's interesting the more you learn about this, the you know,
Yeah.
and playing around with things and also being okay with being wrong and exploring that if you happen to, you know.
Yeah. And exploring why was I wrong about this? And where did I go off the track?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Are there particular planets, aspects, or patterns that seem to appear frequently in cases involving disappearances or criminal events? Like, what are some of the patterns that you've seen having done this for so long?
Okay, so a couple of things that I will say conjunctions to the Galactic Center. I have
Okay.
come up in things that are especially in in cases that are just weird as fuck.
Yeah,
Things that are
I
just
bet.
very weird, or there is some kind of what the fuck element to them. I have noticed that this, you do often see this, some kind of conjunction. Even if it's an outer planet, there's just, there oftentimes there's something going on there. Another thing I've noticed when you've got either the chart ruler is retrograde, or you have a lot of retrograde planets, this seems to be common. I'm reading what I have here. This seems to
Yeah.
be common in cases where the Common in cases where the cases go cold or it takes a while to solve. Retrograde heavy charts in general can indicate the same kind of thing. I've seen this kind of like when there's a retrograde planet as the chart ruler and it's, you know, it's a cold case. It's like, okay, yeah.
You're like, this is going to stay cold for a while, probably.
Yeah, this is, yeah. Or it's like no, or if it is a cold case that was solved, it's like, okay, so it's no surprise though that this went cold like it did, and there, nobody knew what the hell was going on.
Okay.
Those are two things that definitely have stood out over time. What about you? What have you?
Well, in the short amount of time that I've been doing it, so I've noticed, and maybe it's just the cases that I've covered. Most of the cases we've covered so far have been either mysterious disappearances or a mysterious death. Like, how did they die, or who, you know, we don't know. And I just see a lot of activity in the fifth house, which I always find interesting because it's like, what are we looking at? Like, is this because of drugs? Is this because of the randomness of it? Because the fifth house can be random. Like, sometimes things are random.
Are there sex elements to it?
Or there's sex elements to it,
Children?
or
Are there children?
children. With the Burning Man murder, there's a lot of emphasis on the fifth house. And so it's like, was this a sex thing? Was this a
Drug. There you go.
random thing? Or was this like, but then, you know, you can know when something's not random, usually, if the ruler of the ascendant and the ruler of descendant are making an aspect and they can see each other, right? Then that usually
Yes.
tells us that the person, they knew each other, or there was something, right?
Which can be very helpful in cases of like questions of if somebody unalives themselves. I'm not sure if I can say that
Right.
in
We'll just say
the
unalive because I'm not sure what. Yeah.
other way. Yeah, I'm not sure either. So I don't want to get you
Yeah.
like, but in cases
Flag.
like that, there can be if there are questions of what happened. If you see the oftentimes when you see the first house ruler and the seventh house ruler making an aspect, it's like, oh, okay, so there's.
History.
Yeah, there's history and there's somebody else is in play here, knowing them. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have to be honest, I'm not sure yet what I think about this heavy emphasis on the fifth, because it can be so many things. I've just found it interesting that there's been a lot of fifth house emphasis on all the cases I've looked at so far.
Another thing with the fifth house, I have found when it's been emphasized in general, I mean, that can be like where you and the per if it has to do with the perpetrator, like let's say the perpetrator is there in the fifth house, they enjoy what they're doing.
Yes, I was going to say that
Close.
too. There's an enjoyment factor involved in the crime. Yeah. That's kind of where I've settled, what I think it's telling me, because again, these are unsolved, the ones I'm looking at. So I probably should look at more solved cases so I can say, okay, well, what is that fifth house telling us here, you know?
And that's a great thing to do too, to look at past ones, be like, okay, and kind of see how that plays, how it all plays together, and then okay, so maybe this could mean that then, you know.
Right.
Oh, another thing I've noticed is back to the literal, like things being very literal. Sometimes when you've got like where there are multiple people that departed all at the same time, let's say, you might find that many planets like all in conjunction together.
Oh, okay.
Or planets, let's say, okay, like with the Moscow, Idaho murder, with that chart, I can't remember which one ex what exactly, but there were four things conjunct in the chart.
Okay.
It was three planets in the node, one of the nodes. I want to say it's been a while since I've looked at that chart, but it was something, and I remember thinking, oh, how interesting. We've got all of
Multiple people.
Yes. And I think one of the planets was the chart ruler in that. So it kind of tied in with the victims, right? And
Yeah.
how funny that this is so literal. Even with the yogurt shop murders, there were four. All
Oh, wow.
four. So
Okay.
you can see, and you won't see that so much in like, you know, obviously in like single deaths, but in the multiple ones, you might find that there are that many planets of that many victims all kind of clustered together.
My last question, what are some of your favorite cases? And then do we want to share?
Well, I guess the one that, you know, really got me into, I mean, okay, like I obviously was aware of forensic astrology before this, but I remember when Naya Rivera died, or rather we didn't know, nobody knew she died at the time. She just went missing. I didn't watch Glee, but my mom and my brother and my sister did. And
Okay.
my brother was like really, really broken up about it. And I'd never really seen him get so upset over a celebrity death before. So I'm like, and my mom knew that I was messing with this, and she was like, will you pull the chart for this? And I was like, okay. I was like, yeah, I can do that. I was like, do we know what time she was last seen? And my mom was like, yeah, there's, and I guess it was like a video cam, like a, I don't even know what the word is, like a camera recording or whatever that
Like
had a timestamp on it or some.
maybe like a surveillance of some
Yes.
kind.
Yeah. It had
Yeah.
the timestamp. So I was like, okay, that's great. That's great that we have that. And I remember pulling the chart and immediately thinking she is not alive. Like
Yeah.
she's not alive.
The chart ruler being Venus.
Yes, in the eighth house, that 10, I mean, that doesn't have to be death, but if somebody's missing
Not
and
a good sign if it, the chart ruler's in the eighth house.
yes, it is not, it is not a good sign. Okay, so like we have an Aries descendant, right? Now, obviously, an Aries descendant does not have to, it could be a, there could be a perpetrator, right? But I remember here, this felt much more like there wasn't, like it was, you know what I mean? Like, 'cause Aries is also self energy. It's also like self, but I didn't think it was like an unaliving, right? I didn't think that, but I felt much more self related. I did a blog, but sorry, I'm kind of looking down at my, I did a
Yeah, of course.
years ago. There's also a way to map this stuff if you're looking for somebody, if you're wanting to find somebody. And I remember mapping where they could find her. Now, this was in a lake, right? So it's not like huge, right? But I remember mapping it, and I thought that they would find her in a place called like Devil's Cove or Devil's something or another, that they might find her body in that area. So I write this blog post, do all of this on the 11th of July of 2020. I think they found her on the 13th. I found her, they found that she, it was, looked like it had been an accident, blah, blah, blah. And then weeks later, somebody on my blog post left a comment saying that they found her around Devil's Cove. And it was at that point I was like, okay. I was like, all right, like I don't know how I feel about this, because it's like essentially celebrating some kind of victory of being right when it's somebody that has passed. There's a weird thing up, right? Like,
Yeah, I call it astrology good. It's like it's not real life good, but it's astrology good.
yeah, that's a good way to put it because it
Yeah.
is. Like, it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh yeah, I'm right. I love, but
Right.
there is a feeling of, okay, so there's something to this. I must be at least a little bit good at what I'm doing to
Totally.
who've gotten that. But I hate that, she passed and her child was.
Oh, so sad. That was such a sad story.
It is. It's very. It's incredibly sad. Like awful. And so I remember having this feeling of like, oh, I don't know. But then thinking, I could really use this for good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, speaking of children, because then you have the second significator for her is the moon,
Yes,
and
in the
it's in the
fairy.
fifth house. So it's like she was going on an adventure with her child as part of the story.
Yes. And that's another, like the involving children. That's the fifth house can
Yeah.
definitely point towards either children being involved in the crime in some way, being victims of the crime, or just being there, right? And
Being there,
happy
yeah.
to be there. Oh, another thing to mention, since we're talking about kids, that probably should be mentioned is if you are if you're looking at the chart, if it's a crime or a missing child, you want to look at the fifth house too, like the ruler of the fifth house.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, that generally, like I know different people that have written books on forensic astrology. I know they all recommend doing that. Now, I do still look at the ascendant and chart ruler as well, but the
Yeah.
fifth house can definitely, be looked at too, and the ruler of the fifth house.
Makes sense. Now, would that be telling you the condition, or I guess it's telling you a little bit of everything, right? Like it might tell you where they are by looking at that.
It could, yes. Yeah, it could in the condition. It's another layer to bring in that you get to have with, and I'm smiling about that. Like, I'm not happy about missing children. I want to make that very
Right.
clear. But
Yeah.
it is kind of nice when you've got missing children that you have this other layer to look at because,
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants anybody to go missing, but there is something like that. It especially tugs at my mama heart when I hear about missing children.
Yeah.
Oh God, find them, find them.
Find them, right. And at least my view with all of this, because you have your true crime podcast and I have mine is, we're not celebrating anything, but we're showing how astrology can be used. Now, I've never helped law enforcement. I'm still have mixed feelings about it. I wouldn't want them to take us that seriously. But if it helps spark any like, oh, maybe we should have looked over there, maybe we should have looked at this, then we've done something good, right? Like putting it out into the world to continue talking about a thing that needs attention to it is a positive thing.
It is a positive. Yes, it is a positive. And like you said, you don't want to ever do anything that could detract law enforcement or muddy the
Right.
waters. I feel very much the same way about that. I will admit, though, that the other case that I sent you, the other chart, I did call APD. This is also Austin.
This one?
Yes, Roxanne Paltoff. She went missing
Yeah.
on July 7th of 2006.
Okay.
Found. I laugh about this because I probably sounded like a crazy fucking person, whatever. But I did call APD. I did call Austin Police Department. And
Okay.
I tried to talk to somebody, and the lady was literally, she didn't say this, but she might as well have been like, who the fuck are you and what do you do? Like, it was.
She's like, what am I wasting my time with right now?
And I was like, you know what? Never mind.
Oh no, you did, but you were trying to help, but she made you feel small about it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, like, I probably came off like, that meme of that guy that's looking all crazy with all the red lines connecting.
Yeah.
I probably sounded insane. So I was like, never mind.
That reminds me of when I saw a UFO and I called the cops. I called 911 because I was like, well, I feel like I should report that I saw this thing. And they're like, all right, whatever. And I'm like, never mind, never mind, never mind.
Yeah, you're like, never mind, forget it. I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so she went missing, Roxanne Paltoff. She went missing from right around a hotel that she was staying at with her boyfriend, an area of Austin at the time, well, and even still today to a certain extent, but at the time was a little, we'll say rougher. It was a little,
Okay.
her boyfriend at the time has always kind of been thought to have been the one to do it, to have unalived her. Now, there's another person in play who was found with her ID days later, claiming to have given her a ride from the hotel. I believe he was also, I want to say, he was arrested. He was found incarcerated with her ID on him. I believe it was for assault that he was
Oh.
picked up for. Now, see, I've always kind of felt like it was that guy. Oh, I won't go into the whole thing about,
Sure.
I think there are several dynamics at play here. I do think the boyfriend is involved, but I don't think he was actually the one who did it. But I will say this, about how, okay. So, and this is not the only reason why I think it's this other person who supposedly gave her a ride, right? This is not the only reason why, but I do think this is interesting because it's very literal. That guy is deaf or very hard of hearing. And we have Mercury retrograde in the seventh house. It is okay. So, and that is not the only reason why, right? That
Yeah,
I think
but
that
it says something, right? That is saying something.
it does. It's very loud to me. It's like, okay. Yeah, so that's just, but like I said, there are other reasons. I won't go into all of them, but there are other reasons why, but that is like a very
A big
literal.
one. Cool. Very interesting.
But I hope I do. This is one that I've wanted to see. I mean, I want
Saul.
to see, yeah, I mean, not that I don't want to see all of them solved. I do, but this one I
It
would like.
stuck with you.
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. And it's local to you too, so I get that. Yeah.
It's local, and I think it's because it's local. I think she was also my age. She would have been my age. And so I think there was something about that like she has been missing now longer than she was.
Alive.
Yeah. And it's
Yeah.
like, God, I can't even imagine having a loved one that they're gone longer than they were with you. And
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened to them. And
That is heavy. Yeah. To not know. It's like we're drawn to these mysteries, and it's such a part of human nature to be drawn to these mysteries. But to imagine being, part of that mystery, right? Like that is not, that would change my viewpoint, I think, of things.
absolutely. Having something like that happen to you, or a loved one, or what? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What are your some of your the ones that you that have stuck with you the most?
Some stuff that stuck with me. I mean, the Amy Bradley one
Yeah.
was a big one. That was kind of my intro into, I haven't been doing this very long at all. The Amy Bradley case, I found that really drew me in. And you did an episode on that as well, right?
Yes,
And
yes.
so we've talked about, and I think we both came to the same conclusion, which was that we think that she was a did we come to the same conclusion? We think she was
Yes.
abducted.
Abducted and taken into,
Wherever.
wherever,
And almost
probably.
like she walked into it, right? Like it wasn't, like I feel as though it wasn't like she was necessarily taken from her room, but she
Yeah.
might have been led.
She might have been led. She might have been under the influence, right? Because well, she probably she was she was she'd been drinking,
Yeah.
which lowers your inhibitions. Perhaps she might,
Yeah.
no,
She had like what 10 beers in a very short amount of time. And she was young. I'm
yeah.
sure other
She was
things were
having a good
involved.
time. She was, and I could totally see. I remember with that chart thinking that it's very possible that maybe, she wanted to. Maybe somebody was like, "Hey, we've got some party favors somewhere," and she.
Right. Well, and I think about, and this is just me, like when I look at her picture, like she's about the same age as me. And some pictures of her from back in the day just reminded me of like people I would have hung out with. And I can totally see. I mean, this is back when like marijuana was not legal everywhere like it is now.
Yeah,
And
so
so I can totally imagine being like, we might get some like really amazing marijuana on this island. Like, tell me where to get it,
And she's all, even if she wasn't normally somebody who did that, she's on vacation. Maybe she's like, fuck it, let's go. And she's had some drinks. It's like, fuck it, let's go,
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it didn't seem like she was like somebody was going and, dragging
Yeah.
her off. It did seem like
Like a
she.
set of circumstances that got her in over her head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably like the big one, but my current obsession right now, and I haven't recorded an episode on this one yet, but are you aware of the Yuba County Five?
I feel like I should be.
It's really wild. So I'll give you a little synopsis, but then we're gonna do an episode on this. I want to do this as our Halloween episode because it's just really scary to me, the idea of everything. But essentially, it was a case that took place in the late 70s, and it was five friends, young men in their early 20s, but they were all to some extent either mentally disabled, or it was like they were either autistic, or I think one of them might have been like extremely bipolar and was heavily medicated. I don't know the details of each, but
They had different differences about them.
and it was also why they were close. They were part of like a sports team that was like working towards being part of the Special Olympics. So I think they
Oh,
were a
okay.
part of a basketball team. So they would go to basketball games together, and they went to a basketball game somewhere like out. They were driving like in the mountains somewhere in California, Northern California, and they never came home. After the last time they were seen, a woman says they came into her drugstore and a convenience store and like purchased an obscene amount of snacks, like they were planning on going on a road
Obscene
trip.
amount.
Yeah, like, and she remembers it very distinctly because it was at the very, they showed up right before she was about to close. She was annoyed, and they were
They're
like,
buying so many snacks that she's trying to get the hell out.
yeah, so it stuck in her mind. And then they were missing for several months because this was like in the middle of February, and they found the car, looked like they had just driven like off road, and then they just disappeared. Like off there was lots of snow, like up to people, I want to say it was like up to people's like hips, like it was a lot of snow. And then I think in the summer they found their bodies, and so it looked like they had all they found one of them wrapped in a blanket in like a cabin, and
In
it
a cap.
looked like he had, and he had a beard, so it looked like he had starved to death and that he had been trying to live not that far away either. So it's like, what were they doing? They were like roughing it, and it was kind of in the middle of nowhere, but not that far from where their
Okay.
car was. And so, and one of them has never been found.
Okay, now I'm
So,
like massively curious. Like, I'm also like, why the fuck have you never heard of this, Ellie?
I only recently heard about it. This has been a fascinating conversation, and I wish we could keep talking forever. And I hope that we get more chances to discuss this stuff. I would love to have you on. We should maybe even do like a dual episode or something.
Yeah,
Or
and if you ever
dedicated.
wanted to come onto my YouTube, I would love to have you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Let's talk about it for sure. So, where can people find you, Ellie, to book readings, to where they can find your work?
Okay, you can find me at SaturnSeason.com. That's where you can book readings. You can read my astrological ramblings, my blog posts, all of that. So that you can find me there. Find me on Instagram at Saturn Season Astrology. You can find me on YouTube at Saturn Season Astrology. You can also find me on Reddit, subreddit, Let's Fuck With Astrology.
Ooh.
That's
I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, that's I'm the one of the I'm the co-creator of that subreddit, and it's a really nice community. I'm pretty proud of it. I really
Awesome.
I'm not that proud of much, but I'm proud of
Nice.
that. Yeah, those are the places that you can find me.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'll link all of that underneath the video. And yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
Aspen, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. All right, everybody, have a good one.